what is the will of the Lord? You know, we don't abandon our mind in the discernment of God's will.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We're taught in the Scripture that we possess a positional wisdom. In fact, we're taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 that Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom. We're tapped into wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. So we possess a positional wisdom, and we're also taught in the Scripture that we can daily draw upon God for a practical wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It means that he doesn't heap insults upon us because we're so frequently coming into his presence, asking again and again. James says, we can ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He generously, liberally, and graciously, he does not upbraid us. He generously and graciously gives to us precisely what we need. We have a positional wisdom by virtue of our union with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can draw upon God for a practical wisdom daily in our lives, and we can expect that as we ask for that wisdom in faith, he will generously and graciously bestow it upon us. So Paul says, the more of God's wisdom that we can integrate into our lives, the greater will be our capacity to live a life that is pleasing to him. In a word, the greater will be our capacity to live a holy life. It seems to me that in this context, verses 15 to 17, we are taught that God's wisdom will require three things of us, all of which will encourage holiness in our lives. And these are the things for which we should be burdened. What are those three things? Do you see them with me there in Ephesians 5, in verses 15 to 17? The first thing is discretion. See then that you walk circumspectly, discreetly, carefully, cautiously. Discretion. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The second thing is discipline. There is discipline, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then the third thing is discernment. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding, discerning, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Those are three powerful ingredients which wisdom requires of us. Those are three marks of wisdom. So now let's look at these for just a moment. First of all, Paul says we need to integrate, first of all, discretion into our lives. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What he means is this, look carefully how you are walking, how you are conducting your life. Everything worth doing in life requires care. We must treat our Christian life as the serious thing that it is. So he says we must be most careful, giving attention to every detail. That's the first thing wisdom will require of us. And the more we know of God's wisdom, the greater will be our capacity to live a life that is pleasing to God, to live a life that is holy. Discretion. Now, there's a second ingredient here. Do you notice? That's in verse 16, discipline. Not only discretion, but also discipline. Paul says, I want you to be redeeming the time. This is a very practical point. Disciplined use of our time. Redeeming the time. Have you ever thought about time? It's a tremendous theme. There's so much that could be said about it. Jesus is the Lord of time. He controls it. He's done what is essential redemptively to conquer it, whether it be delay, decay, or death. Do you remember that dramatic scene in John, the 11th chapter, where Jesus came to Bethany and where he raised Lazarus from the dead? Have you ever thought about that scene? All three of time's weapons are in John 11, and all three of them were conquered by Jesus. Jesus in John 11, as he came to raise Lazarus from the dead in Bethany, Jesus, number one, defeated delay because he waited 2 days before setting out for Bethany. He received word of Lazarus' illness and potential immediate death, and he waited 2 days before he left. He delayed his coming, but it wouldn't matter because he's the Lord of time. He's conquered delay. And so we see him conquering delay in John 11. You read it in John 11, verses 4 to 7. And not only that, but he also conquered decay. For upon his arrival, you remember what Martha said to him? Jesus said, I want you to roll back the stone on this tomb where Lazarus had been for 4 days. And Mary said, Lord, in the old English of the King James Version, very pointedly and very pungently, Mary said, Lord, by this time he stinketh. By this time there is a stench, for he hath been dead 4 days. She was saying, by this time, Lord, the processes of decay and decomposition and disintegration have set into his body. But Jesus conquers decay. He conquers everything. He's the Lord of time. And then the Bible says he conquered not only delay, waited 2 days, got there 4 days after his death. He not only conquered decay, but he defeated death, for we're told he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says, he that was dead came forth. You read it in John 11, verses 43 and 44. In the face of the Lord of time, the weapons of time are impotent. Now, I've taken a long time, and there's no pun intended in that. I've taken a long time in order to say that Jesus Christ is the Lord of time. He is its creator. He is its controller. And he is its conqueror. Delay, decay, and death crumble into ashes at the feet of Jesus Christ. If our Lord is time's Lord, then we should be committed to using that precious commodity for his glory. We should be the men and the women of the opportunities, buying them up in order to serve his great and glorious purposes on earth. Do you know what one of the great tragedies of life is? One of the great tragedies of life is that for so many of us, life is nothing other than a record of lost opportunities to do the right and the lovely things. We knew what to do, and we had the time to do it, and we didn't do it. Paul says, redeem the time. If time's Lord, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, is your Lord, redeem the time. Buy it back from its evil bondage and buy up every opportunity to glorify his name. There's an ancient saying, there are three things which never come back: a spent arrow, a spoken word. Ever wanted to retract a word? You can't do it. A spent arrow, a spoken word, and a lost opportunity. So Paul says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. And then finally, I'll just give you the outline here, discernment. That's the third thing that wisdom requires of us. I parked along the second one. We won't park along this one. Discernment in verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Paul says the wise Christian is certain that whereas willfulness is folly, wisdom is to be found in the center of God's will and nowhere else. You remember Jesus himself prayed, not my will, but thine be done. Understanding what the will of the Lord is, you need discernment. And Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Nothing is more important in life than discovering and doing the will of God. That will include both the moral will of God, which relates to the generalities of God's people and is revealed in Scripture, and the personal will of God, which extends to the particularities of our life. The moral will of God is the same for each of us. It's clearly revealed in the Bible, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's the same for every one of us, the moral will of God. The personal will of God is different for each of us. What career we should follow, whether we should marry, and if we should marry, whom should we marry? And it seems to me that the detailed decisions of that nature will have to be made after, number one, careful thought. That's why Paul says, understanding What is the will of the Lord? You know, we don't abandon our mind in the discernment of God's will. The discernment of God's will is not a mystical thing. It's not an ecstatic, existential zap from outer space. It doesn't come through omens. There are certain spiritual forces in the universe that send the wrong omens. Understanding, and the Greek word means using the mental processes of the mind. That's what the word means. Understanding what is the will of the Lord. It will come after careful thought. It will come after much prayer. It will come after the application of biblical principles to the issue at hand, and it will come fourthly after seeking advice from mature and godly and experienced believers. Understanding what is the will of the Lord. The sincere Christian, Paul says, is willing to invest himself in discerning both God's moral and personal will, because the sincere Christian knows that the safest, do you agree with me on this? The safest and the most satisfying place in all the world, no matter where it may lead him, is right in the center of God's will. Discernment. That's the third thing that wisdom requires of us. Paul says, the third great motivation to holiness is the wisdom of God. We've looked at the judgment of God. We've looked at the light of God. We look forward to the judgment. We look back to our transition from the darkness into the light. We look upward to God for his wisdom. And he says that this wisdom will require three things of us. Discretion, see that you walk circumspectly. Discipline, redeeming the time because the deeds are evil. And discernment, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so this is the question. I close with these three questions. Here they are. Number one, are we discreet? Do we exercise great caution in conducting our Christian lives, making sure that we are consistently applying God's principles in every area of our lives, or are we slipshod and sloppy in our application of the Word of God? Are we discreet? See then that you walk circumspectly. That's the way to a holy life. Secondly, are we disciplined? Are we disciplined? We are disciples. Are we disciplined, particularly in our use of time? Do we buy up the opportunities to serve God, or do we squander them? Jesus is the Lord of time. Do we supply any evidence that he is our Lord by properly using the time that he has allotted to us? It can be such a convicting thing. Is that the kind of servant we are? Disciplined in our use of time? And finally, are we discerning? Can we pray without hypocrisy as Jesus prayed, not my will, understanding what the will of the Lord is, not my will, but thine be done. So far as we know, are we in the center of God's will? Those are the marks of wisdom, discretion, discipline, and discernment. And their powerful inducements to live a holy life.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Paul's burden in this section is that God's new society, the church, must learn to adopt God's new standards for living.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.